Greetings, beloved, and welcome again to another reading of From the Pastor's Desk. This is an audio ministry of Grace Missionary Baptist Church here in Temperance, Michigan, just a few blocks north of Toledo, Ohio. I'm your pastor, Joe Sitters. You can reach me via email at pastorjoegmbc@gmail.com. You can find our church on Facebook, where we post all of these recordings. Search all one word, the at symbol, GMBC Toledo, at GMBC Toledo. You can find any of our, they're called podcasts, but any of these recordings that we have posted. You can find us on podbean.com, podbean.com. That's our platform in which we record all of these things. You can find us there. You can follow and subscribe. You can also find us on iTunes by searching for Grace Missionary Baptist Church. And you will find us there. You can find all of this through our Facebook page, and all of this link information is also available in the show notes. Depending on how you listen to us, you can find us in any of those formats. You can find us physically, which is always tried and true, at our street address, 6977 Summerfield Road, Temperance, Michigan, 48182. As I said, it's just a few blocks north of Toledo, Ohio, so it's not too hard to find. First exit off of Highway 23, if you're coming through Toledo, take Stearns Road and head east. And we're not too far from that exit right there. Our services begin at 10 a.m. every Sunday for Sunday school, 11 a.m. for main service, and 2 p.m. for our afternoon service and Bible study. Today's reading is called Miracles of the American Revolution, and the writer is Douglas Whannell. Concerted efforts to eliminate any reference to God in American schools and media and the supposed debunking of the Bible by academics have resulted in widespread biblical illiteracy and a tragic ignorance of the true facts involved in the birth of the United States, especially the incredible role that God's intervention had in the American Revolution. While secular scholars and liberal theologians may scoff and shift away from the Bible, While secular scholars and liberal theologians may scoff, the shift away from the Bible has eliminated a vital perspective from the study of history that will have serious consequences. The Bible records that long ago Moses warned the ancient Israelites, who had been supernaturally delivered from Egypt by God through a series of powerful miracles, to take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Decades later, Joshua reminded his generation, of Israelites how God had fought their battles, Joshua 23, verses 2 through 3, and established their nation in a promised land by halting the waters of the Jordan River, Joshua 5:1, breaking down the walls of Jericho, Joshua 6:20, raining hailstones on an enemy army, Joshua 10:11. The Bible also records that other nations recognize these events as divine interventions by Israel's God. See Exodus 14:14, verse 25, as well as Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Centuries later, the prophet Isaiah warned that backsliding nation of Israel to remember the former things of old, and how God had intervened on its behalf to accomplish his purpose. Yet critics claim these are only fables. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 11. Another vital lesson that our increasingly secular Western society have lost sight of is that God guides the course of history, that he increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and strengtheneth them. Job 12, verses 23 through 24. The prophet Daniel records the same important message, that God, he removes kings and setting up kings, and the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Daniel chapter 2, 21, 4, 17, 25, 32, as well as chapter 5, verse 21. What important facts have Americans and the world forgotten? And did God really intervene to guide the outcome of the American Revolution? What sort of evidence is ignored and seldom mentioned today? He gives a couple of fascinating examples here that we'll dive into. I want to remind you, if you're interested in getting a hard copy of these tracts, as you can hear my allergies are really distorting your listening pleasure today. Feel free to write us or email me, PastorJoeGMBC@gmail.com. We would be glad to get some extra copies mailed out to you. The first example he gives here is George Washington and Boston. George Washington played a leading role in the American Revolution and the nation's founding. His godly character and firm convictions were key factors in molding the nature and outlook of America. However, the fact that he lived to lead this young nation is due to what was called divine providence, the intervention of God in mankind's affairs for a purpose. In 1755, during the French and Indian War, 23-year-old Colonel Washington was one of the 1,400 British troops under the command of General Braddock, marching to capture Fort Duquesne near Pittsburgh, when they were attacked by a French and Indian force. During the battle, Braddock was killed and every officer on horseback was shot except Washington. The young colonel later wrote to his brother, "But by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. For I had 4 bullets through my coat, and 2 horses shot out underneath me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions on every side of me." A Native American who fought in the battle later said, "Washington was never born to be killed by a bullet. I had 17 fair fires at him with my rifle, and after all could not bring him to the ground." This is according to the book Miracles in American History, written by Federer, pages 17 through page 19. Years later, the early spring of 1776, with the British in control of Boston, Washington ordered cannons brought through the snow from Fort Ticonderoga, some 300 miles away, to fortify Dorchester Heights overlooking Boston Harbor. Seeing the danger, British General Howe ordered an amphibious assault on the American position. However, the night before the assault was to begin, a hurricane, or terrible storm, a southeaster of gale proportions, hit the Boston area and disrupted Howe's plans, so he called off his attack on the American position due to the badness of the weather. As a result of the sudden storm and the strength of the American position commanding movement in and out of the Boston Harbor, General Howe ordered the British troops to evacuate Boston. See the book The Weather Factor, written by Ludlum. Washington again wrote to his brother, "This remarkable interposition of Providence is for some wise purpose, I have not a doubt." The next section of this tract is entitled Dense Fog, Snowstorm, and Freeze. In the summer of 1776, General Howe had a British force of more than 400 ships and 32,000 troops stationed around Staten Island in New York Harbor. George Washington gathered about 8,000 American troops to Brooklyn Heights on the western edge of Long Island. The British were about to land about 15,000 troops behind Washington's lines and inflict heavy losses on the Americans who were encircled or on Brooklyn Heights with their backs to the East River. However, the weather again proved to be a deciding factor. Strong winds, an ebbing tide, and incessant rain kept the British from further attacks on the American position and from moving their warships into the East River to cut off an escape route. Washington, realizing the danger of his position, ordered a nighttime evacuation of Long Island. That evening at about 11 p.m., the wind died down and a thick fog developed, shrouding the American evacuation. And when the fog lifted later the next morning, the British were surprised to find that the American soldiers were nowhere to be found. See the book 7 Miracles That Saved America. One American soldier wrote, "Providentially for us, a great fog arose, which prevented the enemy from seeing our retreat," in the book The Weather Factor. The outcome of this battle has been described as so astonishing that many, including General Washington, attributed the safe retreat of the American army to the hand of God. See the America's Providential History. If the wind, rain, and fog, termed the heavenly messenger, had not intervened for the Americans, they would have been captured. Washington would have been hanged, and the Revolution would have come to an early end. In December 1776, with morale low and the American army dwindling to about 2,000 at Valley Forge, Washington decided to cross the ice-filled Delaware River and launch a surprise attack on the British in Trenton, New Jersey. The Americans attacked at sunrise on December 26 during a driving snowstorm, with the wind at their backs and blowing into the faces of the mercenary Hessian troops, who had been celebrating Christmas the day before. In less than an hour, the Americans captured nearly 1,000 Hessians and lost only a few men. Artillery officer Henry Knox wrote of the victory at Trenton, "Providence seemed to have smiled on every part of this enterprise." See the book America's Providential History. Following the surprising American victory at Trenton, General Cornwallis was sent to engage Washington and his troops, who had recrossed the Delaware River and were deployed around Trenton. Traveling over muddy roads due to rain and January thaw, Cornwallis eventually pinned Washington and his troops with their backs against a little creek. Believing he had Washington trapped, Cornwallis decided to wait till the next day to bag the fox. However, during the night, there was another providential change in the weather. The temperature dropped, freezing the ground and allowing for easier movement of men and materials. Washington's troops left their fires burning and evacuated their camp. They were able to move over the frozen roads to attack and defeat the British troops in Princeton behind Cornwallis, endangering his supply lines. This surprising turn of events in favor of the Americans happened because of a providential change in the weather. The escape from a trap and a victory at the Battle of Princeton were seen as evidence of God's hand in these events. The next section is entitled A Key Victory and Alliance. Another crucial turning point occurred in the summer of 1777. British General John Burgoyne was marching down the Hudson River Valley from Canada with a force of 7,000 men to join General Howe, who was supposed to be marching north to Albany, New York. However, Burgoyne was stopped at Saratoga by a force of more than 15,000 Americans who were angered by the brutality inflicted by Burgoyne's Native American allies. Failing to defeat the Americans, Burgoyne and his troops began a retreat, only to be caught in a rainstorm and turned the roads into a slimy bog. When the Americans crossed the Hudson River ahead of him and blocked his escape, Burgoyne and 6,000 of his troops surrendered. General Howe never made the trip up the Hudson as his reinforcements and supplies came from England that were coming from England were prevented from reaching America for 3 months due to contrary winds. The defeat of one of Britain's best generals in North America by colonials was a shock to London, but it was viewed as a miracle in Paris, as it was a turning point in the Revolutionary War that brought France into the conflict on the side of the Americans. General Washington wrote of this event, "I most devoutly congratulate my country and every well-wisher to the cause on this signal stroke of providence." And Roger Sherman, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, wrote, "This is the Lord's doing, and marvelous in our eyes." Rising rivers, storms, and a sudden squall. In January 1781, American General Daniel Morgan defeated an advancing British force under General Cornwallis at the Battle of Cowpens in South Carolina. In what has been called a tactical masterpiece and turning point of the war, after the battle, Morgan retreated north, chased by the British. Cornwallis reached the Catawba River only hours after the Americans had crossed, but a sudden storm made the river impassable. The British nearly overtook the Americans at the Yadkin River, but again, rains flooded the river, slowing the British. And another flash flood blocked the British at the Dan River, allowing the Americans to cross into friendly territory in Virginia. British General Henry Clinton described these events as follows. "Here the Royal Army was again stopped by a sudden rise of the waters, which had only just fallen, almost miraculously, to let the enemy over." George Washington wrote in March of 1781, "We have abundant reason to thank Providence for its many favorable interpositions in our behalf. It has, at times, been my only dependence, for all other resources seem to have failed us." The culminating battles of the Revolutionary War were also decisively influenced by the weather. In October 1781, in an inconclusive engagement between the French and British fleets in the Atlantic, prolonged by shifting winds, allowed another squadron of French ships with troops and supplies to slip into the Chesapeake Bay, preventing British supply ships from reaching Cornwallis, who was surrounded by 17,000 French and American troops in Yorktown. Facing overwhelming odds, Cornwallis attempted a nighttime breakout by starting to ferry his regular troops across the York River. The first group made it safely across the river. However, a sudden and severe rain squall blew the second contingent of soldiers downriver, leaving Cornwallis with a much reduced force. This sudden adverse turn of the weather completely disrupted the attempted breakout, and as a British colonel commented, thus expired the last hope of the British Army. Cornwallis surrendered the next day while a British military band played "The World Turned Upside Down." The American victory at Yorktown has been called one of the most influential battles in history. as it ended an 8-year struggle for independence and launched America on a path to becoming a world power. And it was aided by a sudden and dramatic change in the weather. After the pivotal Battle of Yorktown, Yale president Ezra Stiles wrote, "Who but God could have ordained the critical arrival of the Gallic or French fleet so as to assist in the siege of Yorktown?" Several years later, George Washington wrote, "It will not be believed that such a force as Great Britain has employed for 8 years in this country could be baffled in their plan of subjugating it. The singular interpositions of Providence in our feeble condition were such as could scarcely escape the attention of the most unobserving, while the perseverance of the armies of the United States, through almost every possible suffering and discouragement for the space of 8 long years, was little short of a standing miracle." Yet the critical role of divine intervention is seldom mentioned today. The general feeling during and after the Revolutionary War was that God had blessed the American effort for independence, and the hand of God had intervened again and again to guide events at this critical time. But few remember this today. In 1787, when 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin urged the Continental Congress to begin their daily deliberations with prayer, he commented, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men, as the Bible states in several places." Many modern Americans and citizens of the world have forgotten this important lesson of history that is plainly revealed in the Scriptures. The Bible reveals that failure to transmit the true facts of history and the willingness of leaders to ignore important lessons of history will have serious consequences for America and other Israelite nations in the Western world. The words of the biblical prophets ring out through time. Jeremiah records God's warning, "Because my people have forgotten me, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy." Jeremiah 18:15-17. His words are consistent with the pen of Ezekiel. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back, Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms." Ezekiel 23:35. Likewise, through Hosea, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. But thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Hosea 4:6. God is going to allow nations whose people ignore his instructions and forget how he has intervened on their behalf to reap what they have sown. Jeremiah 2, Hosea 4. As Americans celebrate their independence, we all need to heed those ancient warnings from the God who worked the miracles of thy revolution. This track is an excerpt from the book Tomorrow's World, July and August 2017 edition. I urge you, and we are going to continue our study of a fully examined history this coming Sunday, which is why this track was selected for this week. I urge you, stop taking mainstream media's word for it. Stop taking man's word for it. Start doing your own research. Open up God's word. Open up encyclopedias and see where the truth is. See where things line up. Don't even take encyclopedia's words for it. If there's not a thus saith the Lord, or if there's not credible evidence in God's word that proclaims these things to be true, we have got to stop putting the traditions of man first. We've got to stop putting the feelings and emotions of man first. We are so insignificant to the creation of God in respect to controlling these things and directing these things. We need to recognize our place as followers. Recognize our place as a fallen creation. Recognize the damage that self and pride and sin have done. Christians, it's time. It's time to fall upon our knees and pray that the Lord will forgive us for where we have failed, forgive our laziness where we have forgotten, and fortify our spirits to move forward. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this audio ministry, for the opportunity to reach out in such a way that we might be a blessing to others. I pray, Father, that today's the day that someone would hear this and recognize that they must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That someone will hear this, that we know your word will not return unto you void, that someone would hear this and realize today's the day they need to find a church. Today's the day they need to start living as they should. Today's the day I need to start fully examining my life with you. That what doesn't belong would go, and that what needs to be done will be entered in. We thank you, Father, for this time of repentance. We thank you, Father, for this space in which we can course correct by the navigation of your Son. We thank you, Father, for the precious atonement. We thank you, Father, for your election. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.